We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic...
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that. It will be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Good morning, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Hey, dog, you got some extra juice to you this morning, man. That good morning and Tuesday. I mean, you got that extra juice, man. But
you want to know why?
I mean, I know Pops just came over, so I mean, you get to see your Pops.
Did you
side pose on the bed again? I mean,
that's a great guess, though.
I mean, that always gets me chippery. Starting out well. Yeah. All right, Andy Bucket, tell me, why are you in such a good... It's beautiful today. It's going to be nice the next 3 or 4 days, you know, but still, it ain't that weather yet, all right? So don't let it get up in you when y'all think because it sucks. Because my wife is that way. She just think, oh, it's time to bring out tank top. No. Put you some sleeves on, all right? But is it the weather?
The weather is helping. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's pretty... I wish that I had, like, a really great, fun... reason now that, you know, now that I've made it seem like it's something more than it is. So I got more sleep last night than normal. That's it.
Oh, that's good.
I got a little bit more rest. Yeah. So here's the situation currently. Ashley works at CNN, which many people know, my wife, maybe you know, maybe you don't. And their deal currently is 2 weeks you go to the studio and work. 2 weeks you stay at home and work, and then you go back and forth. So they've got all the people sort of separated, and so people spend much time around one another, just being as safe as they can with COVID protocols. And so she's in the studio this week, which means she gets up and leaves the house at 6:15 in the morning. And from 6:15 until my dad or babysitter gets here at about 9:30, it's me and Lily. And it's a crapshoot as to what that morning is going to look like. Yesterday, we were up, which is fine. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people get up that early. You get up at 5:30 every single day. I'm not used to yet getting up that early every single day, so I'm adjusting to it. Today, she ate her morning bottle at 6:15 and went right back to sleep until 8. And it was great. An hour and a half post-breakfast nap for Lily, which an hour and a half post-breakfast nap for Dad.
There we go.
Which is why I said Tuesday's so fun.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Hey, when they start sleeping and all that, dog, that's the greatest joy you can ever have, man. And you know, like I was telling Wendy, I'm a little tired because I woke up probably about 50. I was like, okay, just going to get up because the extra 20 ain't going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And went back to sleep and woke up at 6:15 just groggy as hell. Like,
yeah, that's late for you.
That's just the worst in the world. But, hey, I got my Folgers in me, Andy, probably about a whole pot of Folgers. So I'm road ready, man. I might run through this glass window right now. I got so much energy.
Well, and luckily we got a lot to talk about, and we will over the next 4 hours. We'll get to what's trending coming up in 15 minutes. Back into a little bit of what Renee Montgomery was talking with us about yesterday regarding the Hawks. And, you know, one of the conversations is about Trey and the All-Star game. We find out tonight about the All-Star reserves. Obviously, he wasn't named a starter. Now, that's the fan vote. The fans vote on the starters.
Right.
And we'll get into some of that in about 15 minutes. Tonight, we find out about the reserves. And a lot of really good players in the Eastern Conference this year. So, Trey's got a great case. And I'm hopeful that we find out tonight that Trey is going to be an All-Star. But there's also a chance we find out that he isn't, which would be a bummer. We'll get to that and some of what she said coming up in What's Trending. Some great guests today as well. Steve Weiss going to stop by in the 11 o'clock hour, talk some NFL football. Our guy Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily in the noon hour as well. But we wanted to start here with the Braves. You mentioned yesterday something, Randy, that it kind of stuck with me as the day went on, because normally I'm the one that's more kind of fanning scared and nervous about things heading into seasons. And you had mentioned, because Brian asked the question, what is it about the Braves right now that you still have question marks about? And you said Will Smith, right? The closing role, Will Smith in general, just kind of what that's going to look like with Melanson not being here anymore. And I was like, I feel great about that, which made me uncomfortable. Like, why would I feel great about something if Randy doesn't feel good about it? I'm normally the one that's stressed about things. Let me reassess how I'm feeling about this. And it got me thinking about a couple of different things with the Braves, because there's some things with this team that I'm kind of just confident about. And I don't really have a great explanation for it. There's just stuff going into this year where I'm like, yeah, that's going to work out. And that's an unusual thing for me. Normally, every single thing about a roster leading into a season, I'm like, well, this is going to be a question and this is a problem and I don't know how this is going to work out. Obviously, Ronald Acuna and Freddie and guys like that. But there's a couple things that, upon further review, I'm like, yeah, that is a question mark. I am interested to see what that looks like. And Will Smith is obviously one of them. I mean, he wasn't the closer last year. Mark Melanson was. Hopefully he can step into that role, but I think it's fair to question that.
Well, I mean, the thing with it, I don't stress. I don't fan scared. I just, you know, it's just some things that you have. Yeah, we know that, Andy. You're this scared fan. And it's rightfully, it was like, because there's certain things about you, and we've had this conversation, I will never want you to change because you wouldn't be yourself. So always fan scared. You do that. All right. I'll be the calming presence over here. But, and that's not always the case. But with that being said, it's just certain things. And I think this is what any team in any sport, there's always questions. There's things that are unknown. I think Will Smith is a better closer than Mark Melanson, but I've seen Mark more than I've seen Will. You know, so that's what I'm saying. I have questions about that. There's a couple other, and I think we mentioned this yesterday. We assume that Ian Anderson is going to be good already, but are we sure? He's still a young pitcher. He's going to get, you know, some big time starts and all these things in the rotation and all those things. But for me, he's still a candidate for the Wangster Wang. It's a possibility that he's going to be on it. So, you know, so it's hard for me to do all that. We're down a couple more. The catching position. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a nice run that he had. But are we sure that he's going to be that dude? Is he going to be able to hold it down? Marcell Ozuna. Mm. Yeah. I mean, and here's why. Because he was in the same situation with a Josh Donaldson. Came in for that 1 year. We fell in love when we all running around with the umbrella and all this and everything. And then he leaves. He gets hurt. And then then you ultimately bring in Marcell Ozuna to his replacement. And how much do we fall in love with him? Mixing it up and everything like that. That's why one thing, before they re-signed the Buck, I was on the thought process of Double A is going to move on from him just like he did from Donaldson. He's going to go somewhere. Marcell Ozuna is going to go somewhere for more money, and we're going to bring another one of these guys. Mm-hmm. But now he's back. And so my situation is, can he repeat that? Do I think he can? Yeah, but am I 100% sure that he'll be able to have the same impact that he had last year?
Yeah, because there's something that we talk about all the time in sports that we're just not really mentioning when it comes to Marcell Ozuna, which is guys in contract years. Like,
yeah,
that it is a fact of the matter that when guys have that motivation, and he bet on himself, he did. Marcell Ozuna had other offers last year before he signed a 1 year deal with the Braves that would have had him 3 year contract someplace else, maybe not for as much money, but he said, no, I think I can go out. I can have this type of year and I can earn myself a long-term deal that's going to be worth, I think, ultimately twice as much as what it was reported that he was offered last offseason. So it worked out for him. And I'm with you, Randy. I'm still optimistic that Marcell Ozuna is going to be able to replicate some of what he did last year. I don't expect him to lead the National League in home runs. I think that's a lofty expectation. I know he did last year in 60 games. If he doesn't, that's okay. But I still need him to hit like 35 or something like that. But, I mean, guys have done this before where you come in, you have that 1 year great showing when you're proving it, and then you get the contract and it's just not quite the same. That's also the flip side of the Alex Anthopoulos model, which is you're bringing these guys in for these 1 year contracts. You're sort of plugging a hole here with Donaldson, plugging a hole there with Hamels, didn't work. Got a couple pitchers this year you're plugging holes with 1 year contracts, or filling out your rotation with 1 year contracts. And then Ozuna last year too. He hasn't brought any of them back yet. Yeah, this will be the first one that he's actually retained.
Right.
And hopefully it works out. But I'm with you. Like, I think it's reasonable to look at that and say, huh, all right. He did play better than his baseball card last season.
He was lights out.
If there's just some sort of natural regression, he could still be really good. But the idea that he's going to come in and simply be one of the best hitters in baseball is a lot to ask. It just is.
Yeah, I mean, and to a lot what you just said, because we've never seen him bring these guys back.
Right.
And that, I would think that's always been the biggest thing. And it was obviously important for him, for his organization, to have Marcell Ozuna around. Also, you know, a name that you mentioned. And, yeah, he cut down his strikeouts and all those things, but he's still a work in progress, in my opinion. That's Austin Riley. Mm-hmm. You know, I still think that he's a work in progress. And as we were talking about the lineup last week, he was a guy that I thought, you know, perfect world, he'd be the fourth hitter. He'd be the cleanup hitter right now because he has all the intangibles to be one as far as the power, the ability to drive in runs. Austin Riley's a pretty damn good athlete if you ever watched him out there in the field and at third base. And, you know, I thought he really surprised me, you know, playing that hot corner last year. He really did surprise me, even though we heard all this stuff about him coming into, you know, before he actually got up to the big roster. But we heard mostly about his power than his fielding. You know, we always heard that he can knock it out the park, but we never really heard a lot about his fielding. So that really, you know, impressed me a lot about him, and he can only continue to get better. But he's got to put the bat on the ball, because eventually, when do you get to a point where you look at Austin Riley as a trade piece? When do you look at him as a piece that you put in a package because he's a good player that has good value, that you can get something more valuable if you put a couple things with him? When does that become a thing? Because I think when you look at Austin, as a guy like, if you're the Braves, you want him to be in that Ronald Cunha, Freddie Freeman, Ozzy, Dansby type block of players that you build your foundation for your organization on.
Yeah, those guys, the Acunas, the Ozzys for sure, Sorokas, Freeves, those are guys that came up as prospects that have played their way into being here. Like, there's no question they're not getting traded. There's probably no untouchables in baseball, but they're as close to untouchable as you get. Riley's not there yet. I would love for him to play his way into that. That'd be phenomenal. But yeah, I'm with you, Randy. He's still a guy who's shown a lot of promise, but there's certainly no guarantee. Now, his athleticism to me stood out even more when they put him in left field occasionally, because he kind of shows a little range out there. But yeah, no, there's plenty to sort of look at and say, all right, I thought the morning show put it really well last week. Sounded like a very Abe topic to me. There's a lot of best case scenario guys on the Braves right now. And if a lot of those best case scenario guys hit, the Braves are going to be really good. I think the Braves are going to be really good. But it's a matter of some of these question marks being excellent as well, between getting back to the NLCS, getting to the World Series, and achieving the ultimate goal. All right, we'll get back to that as the show goes on. I know Dave O'Brien had some great comments with Dukes and Bell. We'll get to what's trending coming up next, including who Renee Montgomery is talking about here.
I'm pretty sure the GM still see that he's doing work.
Find out who she's talking about. Renee Montgomery was with us yesterday as well from Fox Sports South. We'll let you hear from her coming up next in What's Trending. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get early bird savings now. Get over $3,000 in cash on cooling systems from Reliable Heating and Air.
You know, I think, and we were not winning a lot last year, but I think it's the expectations that people had on Atlanta, you know, in free agency. There were a lot of GMs, knowledgeable people that said, you know, we did really well. And when we have all of our pieces, and especially a DeAndre Hunter, who, I mean, he's been incredible. Losing him was the big we've had. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at all those pieces, and when we have them, you know, we're competing with a Brooklyn Nets team who a lot of people are saying will definitely make it down to the end. And so if you have high expectations and Atlanta's not reaching that, then you automatically look at the superstar. And, you know, I think he was, 11th in voting, and he was a starter last year. And being a starter, as everyone, so that's just the fans just necessarily aren't voting on him this year. But I'm pretty sure the GM still see that he's doing work.
We'll find out because the reserves are announced tonight for the All-Star teams. And Renee Montgomery was with us yesterday from Fox Sports South. We'll let you hear a little bit more of what she had to say about the Hawks in the 1 o'clock hour. That there is on Trey, and this kind of unusual reality of him being a starter last year and us kind of sitting here tonight waiting, wondering if he's going to make the team at all. The starters is a fan vote. She's absolutely right. And I think expectation has some to do with Trey's less votes this year. I also think it has to do with there's just a lot more talented guards in the East this year than there were last year. You look at the guys that are healthy and playing, guys that have been traded or came to the East this offseason, the guys that are fans that fans are going to vote for. You got Kyrie starting in the game and Bradley Beal starting in the game, and both of them deserve it.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it goes back, and I was listening to other, like, pundits or whatever. Well, if your team's not 500, you don't deserve to be a starting All-Star game. Well, you just said it. The fans voted this, okay? Yeah. I mean, just leave the stuff alone. It irritates the hell out of me, and it's always the same people that say the same.
Well, it also just doesn't make sense because he was a starter last year, and through 30 games – last year, the Hawks were 6-24.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, whatever, man.
They know. were way worse last year than they are this year.
By Bradley Beal this year. Like, what the hell? Just let these folks have this game and move on. Because it ain't that serious of a game. It's a damn All-Star, NBA All-Star game. All right, so whatever. But I think that, you know, I think when Renee was talking about the expectations, I kind of think that's the biggest reason why some people look at it as a slight because of that. Mm-hmm. But think about all the one-time or two-time All-Stars, and not everybody goes all the time. You know, you have to be guys like LeBron and guys like that always are going to – we know for a fact they're always going to be there. I'm not there with Trey yet to say Trey's always going to be an All-Star. I'm not there with him.
No.
You know, and I think that's the problem, and I think that's why this is being made a bigger deal than it is, because that's the expectation where he should always be an All-Star. He's not there. He's not on that level yet.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm not like, oh, man, they slighted Trey. Do I think Trey's an All-Star? Yeah, I do. But if he's not one, am I going to be like, man, this, no, he just ain't there yet.
Yeah, that's no, I'm with you. I don't think it's a disrespect thing. I think it's a being honest about the talent in the Eastern Conference thing. Because when we watch it tonight, we know who the starters are. Two reserves at guard, which I don't think Trey is going to get either one of those spots. It'll probably be Jaylen Brown and James Harden. And then there's two wildcard spots that can go to anybody at any position. And I do think Trey will probably get one of those two, but there's a chance he won't as well. And I'm with you, Randy. I think some of it might have to do with the expectations that the Hawks had this year, I guess. I mean, there was a little bit in Chris Kirshner's article yesterday in The Athletic about possibly the idea that some of the players find Trey's quest to draw fouls frustrating, but I still don't understand that criticism of Trey, because look at the guys who shoot the most free throws in the NBA.
They flop.
Well, but they're also all the guys that go to the All-Star game every year.
But that players that Trey's not on their level yet. That's why they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing, is that these are established superstar players, worldwide known players that do this and get in. So that's why I said Trey ain't on that level yet. And I think I think sometimes we did, as a public, did him a disservice by trying to make it seem like he was when he isn't. He's striving for it. And is he on the right path to be one of those guys? Yeah, he is. But he ain't there yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. If you want to get in the building tomorrow night to see the Hawks take on the Celtics, well, we've got you. We've got you covered right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Head over to the contest page, 92.9thegame.com. Enter for your chance to win VIP tickets to Atlanta Social, food, drink, everything covered. Get a chance to see the Hawks take on the Celtics. And that's not it. You can also win an MLK City Edition John Collins jersey, which are sold out on Hawks.com. So don't even go over to Hawks.com. Don't waste your time. Yeah. Go to 92.9thegame.com, the contest page, and enter for your chance to win. Just trying to help you out.
We got
trying
you,
to
though.
Get you in the building to we watch the Hawks. Celtics tomorrow night. They also play tonight as well against the Cavs. Here's Dave O'Brien talking about Mark Melanson.
Melanson, they tried to get him. They tried to bring him back. And I think he valued, you know, they probably made about the same type of offer, which is worth a lot more here in Georgia than California, obviously, with taxes, cost of living. But he just built a $10 million house on the Mexican coast, and it ain't far from San Diego. He could get there on an off day, you know? I mean, and as much as we all love Atlanta, if you had a chance and you're not to pitch between San Diego and Atlanta in June, July, and August,
giddy up.
with the team that San Diego's put together, and you got a $10 million house on the coast.
Hacienda.
Or a private or a helicopter ride down to your dream house that you built overlooking the ocean. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, I don't blame him. I can't blame the guy at this point of his career.
Neither can I.
Right. All right. You remember when we were talking about we were talking to all of us last week, and I remember I said, "Damn, Mark, let's build a house in Mexico."
Yeah.
Hey man, that thing laid, and I'm telling you right now,
you've seen it.
They had a picture of it.
Oh, they did.
I didn't see the picture.
Oh,
hell yeah, I'm going.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, because look, San Diego's going to be good too.
Yep.
So you have a chance to win there, just like you did here. It's San Diego. You know, the weather is just going to be a little bit nicer, a little bit less ridiculous hot in the summertime, a little bit less humid. And, you know, you're a helicopter flight away from your Mexican hacienda on off days. I can't blame Mark Melancon for the decision that he made. What we did find out, though, is that the Braves made him an offer.
Right.
The Braves were in on it because sort of the assumption was, well, if the Padres got him for that little amount of money, the Braves must not have wanted him. The Braves wanted him too. Similar type of money. He just made the decision that he made based on, proximity to his Mexican castle.
I can't blame him for that.
No, not at all. In fact, I'm very, very happy for him.
I'm pretty sure the cost of living is good. I mean, yeah, he's good.
He's happy. But we looked at this up the other day, by the way. Like, Mark Melancon has made a sneaky large amount of money in his Major League Baseball, like $75 million in his Major League Baseball career. Good for him.
Yeah.
So now we got Will Smith. And this is what Will Smith sounds like.
I've always taken the attitude, you know, everybody's the closer, just the very inning, whether it be the, you know, seventh, ninth. Some guy just happens to throw the last three outs. But I haven't talked to the manager or anything like that yet. Whenever they want to use me, I'll be ready to go.
So that's the assumption now, right, that Will Smith will be the closer of the team. He's done it before. He was an All-Star in 2019, which is not very long ago, with the Giants when he was the closer and had 34 saves. So he's familiar in the role.
Right.
I understand the sentiment about it, but it is different. I mean, we've seen guys be able to succeed in other bullpen situations and then really struggle in the closer. Just more pressure on it.
Right.
But I like him in that role. He does what they want him to do. I mean, he strikes guys out. He doesn't pitch to contact that much. That's my problem with Chris Martin in that spot. I like Chris Martin out of the bullpen, but Chris Martin's given up a lot of contact. Now, granted, a lot of that contact.
Yes,
there
he was
go.
All yellow.
Oh, that's right, Chris Martin. I forgot about Chris Martin. Is the Coldplay drop?
Oh yeah, look at his mind doing.
Yeah, I was like, why is huge? Oh yeah, that's right.
Hey,
oh, yeah,
Andy,
Chris Martin.
I'm not concerned about Will Smith being the closer. I just haven't seen him. This is what he does.
Yeah,
you know, this is what he does. And I think, you know, and it goes back to a little bit of, you know, Brian Snicker and his comfortability with certain players. I think he's more comfortable with Mark Melancon in that closing role last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though, because Will Smith came into he was one of the three or four guys that came into the season dealing with COVID. So
That's right.
Never really got to see what he can do. So, yeah, I know he can do the job, and they brought him here to do that. I think it's just more or less, is Brian Snicker comfortable with him being in that role? Well, he needs to be, because we will get C. Martin in that role.
Do you think you got around it? Do you think that you
should win?
When you try your best, but you don't succeed.
Okay. Well, I thought I did. I thought I did.
No,
I think stop saying you're confident, Randy. He can do the job, Andy. They brought him here to do that job. And when they brought him in, he was one of the best closers in ball, even though he was struggling a little bit when they brought him in.
You know, Will Smith is a musical artist as well.
Yeah, dog.
Like, if we're going to play Coldplay when we talk about the other guy, I mean, Welcome to Miami or Getting Jiggy With It or something
You got to play Will Smith, not the Fresh Prince.
Yeah,
you got to play Will Smith, not Fresh Prince.
You're talking about, like,
who better, Fresh Prince or I'm talking about music-wise. Fresh Prince or Will Smith music?
Fresh Prince.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're talking about, like, Summertime.
Yeah.
Nightmare on My Street.
Yeah.
The Freddy Krueger song. Parents Just Don't Understand. And then Will Smith is what, like, Will-Ennium?
Yeah.
Getting Jiggy With It.
Welcome to Miami. Wild West. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Fresh Prince better.
I like Fresh Prince, too.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that one. Where are we going with... Yeah, okay. The Hawks play the Cavs tonight, 7 p.m., right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, pregame at 6:30. The Cavs have lost 10 straight games, Randy. 10 of them.
Damn, really?
10 games in a row. Remember last week? Remember last week we talked about don't be the get-right team?
Yeah.
Don't let the Hawks be the get-right team for the Cavs tonight.
Yeah, man. It's a situation where you don't want that to come back and like, oh, God. Get jiggy with it. Dude, this song is so irritating to me for some reason. But at the same time, it's so catchy that I love it. But damn, like, people were doing that dance. Nah, 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 nah.
It's the easiest dance
it's
song
easiest
to dance to in the world.
To do, yeah. Man.
It's the easiest dance to do.
You can be John Fricky and do the dance.
Yeah, yes. It had a universal appeal. You get what I mean. Anybody could dance to this song. All right, we'll come back. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal. There's a lot of NBA trade rumors with the NBA trade deadline just a little over a month away. Some interesting trade rumors we'll get into next with Brian Gebhardt. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Lots to get into. And some great response yesterday on our Twitter question about taking the quarterback out of the equation. You can't take a quarterback. What do you want the Falcons to do at number four? What's your top priority, second priority, and third priority? So we'll recap some of that, get to all the other NFL news as well. Speaking of the Falcons, Terry Fontenot going to join Dukes and Bell coming up today at 3 o'clock. So tune in to hear the brand-new Falcons general manager with Dukes and Bell. And then at 3:20, they're just going back-to-back team builders, Randy. Darren Eales is going to join Dukes and Bell at 3:20. So you got Falcons, you got Atlanta United, all in one little 45-minute stretch with Dukes and Bell this afternoon. I was reading Dave O'Brien's article this morning on Ian Anderson and Mike Soroka living together at spring training, which just kind of sounds like fun. And there was a little nugget in there about how many starting pitchers the Braves had to use last year. Now, we lived through it. It was a disaster.
Right.
The guy's injured all the time. Spot start here, this, that. They used 14 starters last year in 60 games.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me because everything you said, because we went through.
Yeah.
I'm sure that number did not surprise me. When you said that this morning, it didn't surprise me because I was like, yeah, they did go through a lot of dudes.
Yeah, they sure did. And just for context, the year before that, when they played 162 games, they only used 11 starters. Right. So they used three more starters and 100 less games. Do you want to try to take a crack at naming the 14 starters that they used last year?
No, I'm good. I already Googled and looked it up.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, I'll cheat. That's
the one that I didn't remember was Tucker Davidson. It didn't stand out to me.
I said Tuck, like me
yeah,
and
I know. Yeah, I know you and Tucker close.
Yeah, like me and Tuck close.
Cole Hamels with his 3 1/3. I know that makes Brian happy. We'll get him in here in a minute. And Tommy Malone. Malone era.
Oh, yeah, because we were talking bad about Tommy because Tommy, he was like that uncle's friend at the picnic, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
he was
him. Yeah,
he's not in the family, and he was acting like he was.
And he was acting like he
is. Well, came in his first start, and the Braves spotted him like a 10-run lead and blew it.
Yeah.
he blew the game.
We were done with Tommy after that right there.
Yeah, he had one of the shortest stint. The shortest stint of the year was Fulte. Fulte made one start. His ERA was 16.2.
Yeah.
16.2, they DFA'd him before the game was even over. Hopefully, the Braves are in a better situation.
Like, that's a serious way to like, get your blank and get out.
Yeah, we don't even stick around for the postgame.
Yeah, like, no, we only want you here. By the time we get in this locker room, you should not be here.
We called you an Uber.
Yeah.
It's going to be outside for you. Get out of here. All right, we'll get you an NFL No Huddle coming up in 15 minutes, like we said. Steve Wyche from NFL Network going to join the show at 11:20 as well. Let's get to a big deal, small deal, no deal, and Brian.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelers in Buckhead, Alpharetta, online or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hey, Brian.
Hey guys, the fall of Fulte would be a very interesting, like, 5-minute short documentary because it really was a crazy, like, run for him. From the time being an all-star to being kicked off the team in one start, the way that it worked, it was just wild, his whole story.
Well, and then nobody claimed him, remember? So he actually spent the entire year practicing Gwinnett. So he was still around, and we were talking about him. I was like, well, maybe Fulte's an option. You know what I mean? Like, that was the craziest part, is he was still kind of a part of the conversation as the season went on. He never got back in any games, but yeah, he's with Texas now.
Yeah, long time ago when we had those bracelets for the show. So
yeah, it's true.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Kyle Lowry potentially being traded to the Philadelphia 76ers. Just a rumor right now. He is a Philly native, but here's the situation. The 76ers are the one seed in the East. The Raptors are pretty good. I mean, they're 16 and 15. They're in the five seed in the East, and they're only four games back of Philly. So big deal, small deal, no deal.
This would be a big deal if it happened for the 76ers. I mean, the one thing about Toronto, they got that rugged culture about them until they play against LeBron. I mean, they're going to compete and everything. Kyle Lowry is a bulldog. And, you know, when I look at you add him to that mix and you could take Ben off the ball a little bit more, I think that's a big deal right there. And they need a move like that because I don't know if they can beat, you know, they can't beat Brooklyn. I don't think they can beat Brooklyn as they're currently constructed.
No, I agree with everything that you've said. I think Kyle Lowry would be a big deal for them. I think that's exactly the kind of move that a team like them makes and puts them more seriously in the championship conversation, which they're already in. I mean, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference right now, record-wise. I think them and the Nets are pretty clearly better than everyone else in the Eastern Conference right now. It also would kind of mean the end of that era in Toronto.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. Because DeMar DeRozan's obviously gone, and Kawhi was only there for a year, and Lowry's been – Kyle Lowry's been in Toronto for such a long time. Yeah. I know that he played for Houston and Memphis at the beginning of his career. He's been in Toronto all the way back to 2012. He's been in the NBA since 2006.
Dude, would never have thought that. Didn't even realize that.
Kyle Lowry's 34 years old.
Did not realize that. He was there that long. But, yeah, I mean – that would be a big if Philly can pull that off, and Daryl Morey is the type of guy that can do that.
Yeah,
they might get something. They might have something right now.
I like Doc Rivers. Such a damn good coach, man.
He is.
Like everywhere he goes, they might not win a championship. I know he got one in Boston, but if he's the coach of your team's in the mix. It's just been true of Doc Rivers for a really long time now.
Yeah, and Kyle Lowry's still playing at a really high level. 17.5, 5.5, 6.5 per game, hitting three threes a game, so he's still an excellent option. That would be a huge addition for Philly. Another team in the East that's rumored with a couple trades is the Bucks. They're apparently interested in P.J. Tucker, the big man for the Rockets. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
This is a small deal to me. People making P.J. Tucker out to be something that he's going to put somebody over top. I want to see Milwaukee with Drew Holiday. Has he played yet this season for them?
But he's been on the kid since February 8th.
Yeah, man.
He was gonna be an all-star.
I know, man. I want to see him back and everything. But I mean, PJ Tucker, he's a tough, hard-nosed defender, can shoot that three-point, you know, from that corner. That's his spot. So I mean, he can use some defensive versatility, but that's gonna make them more of a contender now.
That's what they need, though. That's the thing that they're terrible defensively. Which is crazy to say because 2 years ago they might have been the best defense in the NBA. Last year they were still really good. They're a really bad defensive team this year. When they play against good basketball teams that know what to do offensively, they expose them. I think a lot of it has to do with Brooke Lopez kind of being old. Like his feet look like they're made out of cement now. And they ask him to do a lot defensively. So if you could get someone that could be more defensively versatile, that should help. They've been and I know Drew Holiday being out the last couple weeks is part of it, but they've been a disappointment. Like seeing them, you know, with the offseason moves that they made and Giannis signing his contract, for them to be 18 and 13 and go through some of the stretches of bad play that they've gone through.
Coach Bud on the hot seat?
I don't want to say he's on the hot seat, but like if they get bounced in the second round of the playoffs, I think that they start thinking about a coaching change.
Yeah, Drew Holiday, by the way, he rejoined his teammates yesterday. He's questionable for tonight, so he looks like he'll be back sometime this week. So looking good for him now. Big deal, small deal, no deal. One other trade rumor is apparently the Mavs shopping Kristaps Porzingis.
This is a small deal because I kind of figured they would come to this. I like Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think he is what they want right now or need with fitting with Luka right now. Yeah, that's not a big deal to me.
I don't think it is either. What does Kristaps Porzingis even really do? Like, he kind of shoots threes, right?
Yeah.
And he shoots them pretty well, but he's 7'3". Like, I need you to do a little bit more than that. I don't know. What's the market for Kristaps Porzingis?
I don't know. I mean, could we go back to the whole thing with, you know, John Collins being on their radar?
Could be. Well, then he comes here.
Yeah.
Then I got to eat all those words I've said about Kristaps Porzingis the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He's not so bad.
No, he's not bad at all.
He's got a pretty good haircut.
That haircut, pretty
sharp.
I mean, he's, yeah.
They got that.
He's 7'3", Andy.
He is 7'3".
Yeah.
He can get anything off the top shelf. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. We'll come back. Thanks, we'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Our guy Steve Weiss is going to join us at 11:20 as well from NFL Network. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 98.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!